Well, America has some what we would consider famous fibs. You've heard these before. Maybe you've had them spoken to you before as well. Things like, oh, the check is in the mail. Just leave your number and someone will call you right back. Open your mouth wide. This won't hurt a bit. Leave your resume and we'll just keep it on file. Yeah, never hear back from that one. What about this one? I'll start my diet tomorrow. Ever told that one? Well, the Lord wants us to be people of truth. So take your Bibles this morning and turn me to the book of Exodus, and let's think about how the Lord commands us to be people of truth as we look at this command. And I actually will take any credit or derision for this picture and the picture on your bulletin today, but I really picked a very strong picture because I wanted to send a very strong message. And I know it's Thanksgiving week and you were probably looking for a beautiful cornucopia on the front of the bulletin this week, and instead you got an ugly tongue. But I wanted to drive home a point. We heard when we were children, sticks and stones, you know, may break your bones, but words will never hurt you, that kind of stuff. Listen, that is the biggest lie of them all. Most of us don't remember the times that we were in a fight when we were kids, but we can remember often the hurtful words that someone said to us when we were an elementary student or a middle schooler or a high schooler, and we still carry that around with us today. Words do hurt. And God speaks to us specifically today throughout Scripture on being people of truth. That was the foundation of the children of Israel. They were to keep God first in their life, and as they kept Him first in their life, it was to affect all of their other relationships. And one of those relationships would be, again, beginning in the fifth command on down, that it would affect the relationships that we have with each other, and that we would be people who would speak honestly and truthfully to each other. So Exodus chapter 20, pick up with me in verse number 16. Exodus 20, 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You should not bear false witness against your neighbor. If you go back to Genesis chapter 3, you ultimately find the father of lies, as Jesus would call him in John 8:44, at his work, where the serpent would come to Eve and tempt and say, did God really say you can't eat, or you can eat of all the trees of the garden? Bringing this sense of doubting God's goodness. Did God really say that? Well, yeah, I mean, but we can't eat of this one tree or we will die. And then he says in Genesis 3:4, you will not surely die. Absolute deception, a lie. And then there's this exaggeration that comes with it. Because what's going to happen, in the day that you eat of that tree, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Being like God. So, with the backdrop of sin and the father of lies having tempted Adam and Eve in the garden, we find that as the children of Israel are 3 months out of Egypt, God has rescued them through the Red Sea, has prepared manna for them 6 days every morning. God has provided water for them. God has shown his love and faithfulness to them. And then he says, look, I want you to be people who are people of truth. And with that, I want us to think about two challenges for us today. We are to be people first who tell the truth. I mean, God wants us to be people who tell the truth. Now, in the narrow context of Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 16, where he says, you shall not bear false witness, he is talking about speaking and giving a false testimony about someone. Sharing a false testimony. It would be what we would consider perjury in our day. In a judicial type setting, an official setting, to say something that is untrue about someone else. Take your Bibles if you're in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 16, and slide over to Exodus chapter 23 and verse number 1. Exodus chapter 23 and verse number 1. You shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Don't let them pay you off to be a liar. Don't let somebody talk you into being a dishonest witness. He goes on. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. In other words, again, you can't speak up if you're going to turn people away from justice and righteousness. Verse number 3. You shall not show partiality to a poor man in his dispute. Oh, yeah, the rich might be able to pad your pocket and help you because they have something against a man who can't afford to do that. But God commands us back in Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 16 that we are to be people who tell the truth. Do not bear false witness. But there is a broader context throughout Scripture. And the broad context throughout Scripture is that we are to be people who speak and tell the truth. So the narrow context says, look, in a official court setting, this is true. In a broad context throughout all of Scripture, it goes farther and beyond just verse number 16 where he says, you shall not bear false witness. Instead, in the broader context, God commands us this, be honest. Be honest. That's what God commands us as believers to do, is to be honest. There was a book that was written in the 90s. It's a little bit older. But the book had some things to say about how America tells the truth. It said that 91% of people lie regularly. That one out of every five people lie every day. That men lie more than women. That young men lie more than older men. That the poor lie more than the rich, and that liberals lie more than conservatives. Now, this is an older report, and again, I'm just quoting from a book, so, you know, I will be happy to send the reference if you want to throw darts at someone later. But the reality is 91% of people lie regularly? That is absolutely unbelievable. And one out of every five people lie every day. One of the most prolific places where people lie is on their resume. They have estimated that between 50 and 80% of resumes are misleading at best and downright deceiving at worst. Forbes magazine put out some of the top resume lies. I thought these were just pretty hilarious. A man had the same name as his father. Okay, my name is not Buddy. Most of you know that. My name is Gene. I am Gene Jr., okay? So, but all my life I've been called Buddy. But a man had the same name as his father. He was a junior. And he claimed his father's past work experience on his resume. One man claimed to be an assistant to the prime minister in a country that didn't have a prime minister. This is, again, out of Forbes magazine. An applicant shared that they were an Olympic medalist. That is not hard to find out. And I love this last one. An applicant applied twice for the same position, providing a different work history with both resumes. The truth is that God calls us to be people who are honest, people who are truthful. Now, we can see that that goes in many different directions, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time with this, but I just want you to see. I mean, there is downright deception. There are things like insinuation, where you don't come right out and say something, but you hint far enough that someone can kind of put those dots together. You insinuate. There is gossip. Or there is flattery. You know what flattery is? Flattery is saying something to someone's face that you won't say behind their back. Okay? You act like they're the greatest person in the world right there to them. But when you get away from them, then you think that they're pretty much a low-down, loser kind of a person. But in front of them, oh, everything is great. There are references and dishonesty that comes with references. One of the things that I do pretty regularly is I fill out references and recommendations for for people getting into college or going on a mission trip or doing those kinds of things. And I'll just be honest. I'm honest. If you don't want me to do it, then don't ask me to do it. But I'm just going to be honest. There have been some people I've just said, look, I just don't know you very well. I mean, I see that you're here, but I don't know. And that's fine, too. But I want to be honest. We are to be truthful. And let me just say one other thing. Sometimes silence can be deceiving. When you know something isn't true and you say nothing. God wants us to be people who are honest. But I don't want to just deal with the negative side where he says, do not bear false witness. We think about telling the truth. I want us to take it a step further because I think Scripture does. God not only wants us to be people who tell the truth, but he wants us to be people who absolutely 100% live the truth. That we are people whose DNA, because we are related to the Father, is absolutely one of truth. So that we should live the truth because, listen, because God is the source of truth. So that we should live the truth because God is the source of truth. If you look back in Scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 32 in verse number 4 that says that God is a God of truth. In Psalm 31 in verse number 5, as we think of God being the source of truth and God being truth, we find the call of that Jesus uses actually in the New Testament where he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The word Psalm 31:5, into your hands I commit my spirit, are there in the context. And then it goes on to say, you are my redeemer. And then he says, and God, you are honest and righteous. We live the truth. We live the truth because that's what Scripture tells us to do. We should be people who live the truth because God's the source of truth and God himself is truth. But not only do we find that God is truth, but secondly, we find that Jesus is truth. God is truth. Jesus is truth. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the what? The truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. In John 1:14, this is a passage often used around Christmas time. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus came as a representative of truth. God is the source of truth. God the Son is completely true. But then we move on. The Holy Spirit is truth. In John chapter 14 and verse number 17, he is called the Spirit of truth. And in John 16:13, Jesus again in John 14 through 17 is with his disciples in the upper room. And in John 14:17, he says that the Spirit of truth, he describes the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. But in John 16:13, he says this, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. What does the Holy Spirit do in our life? He guides us into God's truth for our life. God is truth. Jesus is truth. The Holy Spirit is truth. But don't stop there. John 17:17. Jesus, as he prays for his disciples in that upper room, preparing to go to the cross, he says, Father, sanctify them by your truth. Now listen, your word is truth. God's word is truth. Now listen, if 91% of people lie regularly, that must surely indict some of us who say that we know the God of truth, have received the Jesus of truth, are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of truth, and read the Word of truth. How can that be? James would put it this way. How can bitter water and clean water come out of the same fountain, come out of the same well? It's the picture of the tongue. And here, we as believers should live in truth, should act in truth, and walk in truth because God's truth. Our life is to be surrounded by truth. Everything in our life, good, is from truth. From the Father, from the Son, from the Spirit, and from the Word. I want to challenge you today. Are you a person, a man or woman of truth? Are you a man or woman who lives the truth? Who walks the truth? Who speaks the truth? If not, then you need to look in your own life and say, man, how can I know the God of truth? How can I say that I have received the Savior of truth? How can I be indwelt with the Spirit of truth? How can I read the Word of truth and it not have any impact on my life? We live the truth because God is the source of truth. But secondly, we should live the truth because God calls us to live the truth. We are to live the truth because God calls us to be people of truth. Not only does He surround us with His truth, but now He calls us to live in this sense of truth in our life. John 8, 31 and 32. Jesus tells us that we are to know the truth. Jesus speaking to Jewish believers in John 8, 31, there's Jewish believers who were following. He says this, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It is knowing the truth. We are to be people who know the truth. We are to dig into the truth. We are to seek the truth, and we are to know the truth. And if we know Jesus, what does the Bible say? Jesus said, I am the truth. If we know the Father, we know the truth. If we're indwelt by the Spirit, we have the truth. If we read and have the Word in our heart, we've got the truth. Jesus says, look, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, let me just clarify one thing that you often hear people say. They say something like this, the truth shall set you free. Let me be honest with you, the truth has never set anyone free. Knowing the truth sets someone free. The truth doesn't set someone free until they truly say that they know it and they have received it. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Not only are we to know the truth, but we are to worship in truth. In John 4, 24, the Bible, as Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well, He says this, God is spirit, and those who worship Him should worship in spirit and in truth. As we come into worship, look, we're not to put on a charade. We're not to act like something that we are not. We are to worship Him in truth with all of who we are and with complete honesty and authenticity before Him. We are to worship in truth. We're going to partake of the Lord's Supper today. As we participate in the Lord's Supper, we're going to close and we're going to ask this question or something along this lines. Are you living and are you worshiping in truth? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, some of you are partaking of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. In an unworthy manner. What we believe is that they are living and acting one way outside of the church, and then they come into the church and they put on this churchy smile and they put on their churchy lingo and they act like, man, the Lord's Supper is really important to me, when throughout the rest of the week it doesn't mean anything to them. They partake in an unworthy manner. So they come and they worship in deceit and not in truth. And 1 Corinthians 11 doesn't pull any punches on this, my friend. He says, because some of you are partaking of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, he says, some of you are sick, and some of you even sleep. Now, I don't think that we, in our day and in our time, can attribute someone getting sick or dying because they didn't worship authentically. But I will tell you, when we get to heaven, we may find out that there were some people that God gave an early exit to, or God put them on their back, or God put them in their bed, because they were not living in a worthy manner of the gospel. Know the truth. Worship the truth. Thirdly, we're to stand in truth. Ephesians chapter 6, he begins in verse number 10, where it says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then around verse 14, he says that we are to, in the King James, it says that we are to take the belt of truth and buckle it around our waist. The belt of truth. He says in Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore, having your loins girded with truth, or stand therefore, having placed on the buckle or the belt of truth. We are to stand in truth. The picture is here of one in battle, one who's facing a crisis. And as they are, their long flowing robe is to be kind of lifted up, and they're to put their belt on around them to give them ease in movement and the ability to move forward in battle. He says, look, you're to take that belt of truth, because if you lose that and your robe falls, you could get tripped up and you could lose your life in battle for that. So you need to be buckled in with truth. And friends, listen, you need to stand and get buckled into the truth. In a world where it is not politically correct to stand for truth, you need to recognize you've got to stand for truth anyway. In a world that says, look, wrong is right and right is wrong, you need to stand for truth anyway. You better buckle up. You students, you better buckle into truth. Life's going to get a little more difficult, I think, over the next few years. Some of you who are a little bit older, You think, man, what has this world happened and what has gone on in the last 40, 50 years? And students, I can't and not even anticipate what the next 40 or 50 years are going to look like if revival doesn't come or Jesus doesn't come. But I'm telling you right now, you better be buckled into the truth. You better stand in it. You better stand on it. Then you're to walk in truth. Take your Bibles and look back to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Okay, now if you're in Revelation 1, look a page back, because I didn't think you could find 3 John as easy as you could find the Revelation 1. 3 John. 3 Johns, then Jude, and then Revelation. So if you're in Revelation, Jude is just 25 verses, and then the book before that, 3 John, is just 14. But look in 3 John. Paul is writing to Gaius, someone he deeply has affection for and fondness for. But notice in verse number 3, I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Walk in truth. That means I walk with a biblical worldview, with God's word hidden in my heart, that I walk against the current of our present day and our present culture, that I walk and I don't stop, and I don't have to give up, and I don't have to back up, but I just keep pressing forward in truth. You need to have truth solidified. Truth, we've talked about. The Father, the Son, the Spirit, the Word. This is the truth that we take in our life, and then we walk in that truth. Finally, we're to be people who speak the truth. Speak the truth. We are to be people who... Why should we walk and live in truth? Why should we be people of truth? Because God the Father is truth. Jesus is truth. The Spirit is truth. The Word is truth. And because of that, it should have an impact on our tongue. Ephesians 4:15 says this, that we are to speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4:25 says that we're no longer to lie to our neighbor, but we are to speak truth. Right. We are to be people who speak truth. Just as the Father comes into our life, He should come out of our life through speaking truth. 91% of people regularly lie. No, we're to be people of truth. God calls us to live in truth. And listen, if God's presence is in your life, if Jesus has saved you, if the Spirit is in you, if God's Word is being put into your heart and mind, how can it not come out of your lips and speak the truth? Let me give you just a little warning here. In terms of speaking the truth, it doesn't mean that you always have to share every thought that you have about someone because you think that you're being truthful. Colin Smith calls these folks truth terrorists. Terrorists seek to destroy, And a truth terrorist is one who seeks to use the truth as a way to destroy and to tear someone down rather than build them up. So, you know, if you say, man, Pastor Buddy, you just didn't have it today, and, you know, you had run-on sentences today, and you just didn't look that good in that suit today, that can be your opinion, and really, it can be truth. I wouldn't argue with it. But the truth really is that you're not telling me to help me, you're telling me to hurt me. And there is a lot of difference. We are not to be truth terrorists. We are to speak the truth in love. And before we speak, sometimes we have to ask the question, you know, is this really necessary and is this kind? And there are times when truth has to make some hard calls. There are times when truth has to stand up and confront. Murray Tillis, when he was here, grew up in an Orthodox Jewish home and then came to know Jesus Christ. And he came home and he shared the truth with his family. It didn't lead to a wonderful result in family relationships at that moment. But he was speaking the truth as best he could in love. And sometimes the truth will divide. Sometimes the truth will bring separation and bring division. But we are to be people who speak the truth in love. We should live the truth because God calls us to live the truth. But we should live the truth because God delights in truth. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but truthful dealings he delights in. You know, we think about delight in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Can I tell you, when you are honest and true and speak the truth in love and you live the truth, let me tell you, God delights in you. When your kids do something that's kind, honest, and loving, you just sit back sometimes. You don't have to say anything. You just feel it in your heart, the sense of, thank you, Lord, and wow, I love that. I love what I'm seeing. I delight in that. And when we are people who do not bear a false witness, we do not lie. Instead, we are people of the truth. God delights in us.